His ways. How wonderful is His glory and fame, ever the same great as the name of the Lord. How marvelous are the works of the Lord, how excellent are His ways. How wonderful is His glory and fame, ever the same great as the name of the Lord.
Great is the God of Israel, and great are the works of His hands.
He alone is the King of kings, creation bows at His command. How marvelous are the works of the Lord, how excellent are His ways. How wonderful is His glory and fame, ever the same great is the name of the Lord.
Great is the God of Abraham, and perfect is His law.
In majesty and in holiness, He rules the Lord of all. How marvelous are the works of the Lord, how excellent are His ways. How wonderful is His glory and fame, ever the same great as the name of the Lord. He alone is the King of kings. He alone is the King of kings. He rules Lord of all. How marvelous are the works of the Lord, how excellent are His ways.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the Searching the Scriptures class at 3:30 this afternoon to seek the answer to the question, why do innocent children die? These classes are broadcast live on the internet, as you may know, and so you can listen on your computer if you'd like to take advantage of this class when you're unable to physically attend. Also, please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin, which is titled This Week at Bethel Baptist Church, for activities this coming week and next Sunday. And we would particularly like you to take a look at this insert, and you will see that Monday, that's tomorrow, October 8th, at 7 o'clock, the ladies will meet here at the church for the Bible study. And then the next day, Tuesday, there will be a men's Bible study, which will take place at the Kazanjian home. Our scripture reading today is printed in your bulletin, and it's from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 39, This Is My Father's World.
Thank you.
Let's continue our worship with hymn number 263, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 291, Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, how gracious you are that you allow us to meet together, to worship with you, to praise your name, to say great things about the Savior of our soul, the one who died and rose again for us, the one who have come to this world to show his presence, not only of a man, but the divine presence of God, the eternal love of God. Nevertheless, O Father, man crucified him, but they don't get away. He resurrected, and we are alive because of that. Thank you, Father. And now we worship him. We meet together to learn about him and to strengthen our life in such a way that we can again hope for his coming, and hope for the beauty of his presence. Thank you, Father, that as a church, we have a body of believers who keep on going, even though I was on vacation. What a joy it is for me to know that this church is not built upon myself, but upon the rock, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father, for Pastor Thomason and assuming all the responsibilities on the top of his work and on the top of his household responsibilities. And this is the ministry that you told us to do, one follow the other.
And the joy continues until you come. Thank you, Lord, for your hand of help to those who are in need. And we are delighted to see Dana Noriel with strength and in the process of recovery. We pray for Mrs. Campana, who has felt and need your touch today, and the strength of her body. Father, we are glad for all the missionaries that we have. We are glad for their ministry. We are glad that this coming week we will have many of them with us, and we will see them face to face again. What a joy is to know that not only radio and internet and tape and CD ministry is our strength, but also actually families in different countries, from the south in Argentina to Papua New Guinea and to Spain and to many other places. You brought us men and women who love you and want to serve you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. And now, Lord, as we look for the wonders of your love and the wonders of your word as we unfold your word and the praises of God from the choir, we pray that this service will strengthen our life and will wake up somebody who is dead spiritually to life eternal. Thank you for the provision of your people, because without their provision, we cannot continue the ministry. And Lord, you are the one who gave them love to give. And because they love you, they give. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
circumstance of life, whatever be my case, oh, may it be enough for me, Lord, just to seek thy face. Passion, position, selfish pride, I would have none of these.
Collecting the presence of many missionaries, and Martha Poretti is here with us, and so it is a great pleasure. She wants to say a few words to you before we continue with the service, and thanksgiving for her support that she received from our church. All right, Martha Poretti, will you please, Martha, vení, por favor. Let Martha speak in this, and I speak through the other. All right.
Buenos días a todos.
I want to say good morning to all of you.
No se imaginan lo que significa para mí estar en esta mañana aquí en este lugar.
You cannot believe how emotional it is for me to be here in this place this morning.
Hace mucho tiempo que quería venir personalmente y agradecerles tanto amor que me manifiestan con la ayuda que tienen para mi ministerio.
So long ago, I thought I need to come and say thank you to you for the great effort that you do in supporting me and my ministry.
Quiero primero dar gracias a Dios por haber permitido el poder estar, porque siempre por la enfermedad de mi esposo no podíamos, y bueno, el Señor lo quiso en este tiempo.
I want to thank God first because of my husband's sickness, and as you know, George has a heart difficulties. We cannot be here, but this time the Lord was pleased that we can fly and be with you.
Quiero agradecer a ustedes también las oraciones, porque Raquel siempre me dice, la iglesia está orando por Jorge y la iglesia está orando por tu ministerio, y entonces no saben lo que es a la distancia saber que hay un grupo de hermanos que está acordándose de uno que está trabajando para el Señor.
Raquel from time to time tells me that the church is praying for my husband every Wednesday, and the church is praying for my ministry, and you cannot realize how emotional it is to know, as we are so far away from each other, to know that a group of believers are praying for me.
He traído cartas de los muchachos que están allí internados en el lugar este que estoy haciendo el ministerio. Espero, si hay alguno que entiende la lengua o que él pueda hacerlo, traducir algunas, porque vale la pena, estas últimas cartas, vale la pena ver el cambio de ellos al haber aceptado a Cristo como Salvador.
I brought with me a few letters, and I hope that Pastor can translate them and put it there for you, because these are letters of people that have been saved, people that have been there in the rehabilitation center where I work, and now they wrote to me that they have found Christ in their heart.
También he traído fotos, así que vamos a preparar para el domingo que viene una cartelera. Y después estoy a disposición de ustedes, lo que quieran preguntar. Lamento la lengua, no podernos entender. Siempre que vuelvo a Argentina digo, voy a estudiar inglés, pero los tiempos no me dan.
I want you to know that I have brought pictures so that you can see the ministry, and we're going to prepare a file here on the other side of the church so that you can see it. You can ask me questions. When I return to Argentina, I say I have to learn English, but I get so busy that I never put my hands on it.
Porque aparte del ministerio con los muchachos drogadictos, también trabajo con las mujeres de la misma forma. O sea, lunes, un grupo de mujeres que le enseño artesanías para predicar el evangelio. Martes, voy a los chicos drogadictos. Miércoles, con las mujeres. Jueves, con las mujeres. Y entonces, bueno, no queda tiempo.
What happened is this. See if I remember all this. Not only I work with the men in two different places, but also with the ladies. And on Monday I have a group of ladies. On Tuesday the rehabilitation center with the men. On Wednesday with the ladies. On Thursday with another rehabilitation center of men. And then on Thursday with the ladies again.
Bueno, una vez más, mil gracias por todo el amor que me demuestran, y gracias porque todo es para la gloria del Señor.
Once again, thank you for the love that you show me, and let us remember this. All what we do is to the glory of God. Thank you, Martha.
How wonderfully our sovereign God works, that He has enabled us to support Martha and George in their ministry, and what a privilege it is, and what a miracle it is that, as Martha said, she being so far away, that we are able to pray for her and learn of her and speak of her and support her. So thank you very much, Martha. Please turn in your Bibles now to the book of Esther. And if you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 600. We will be reading Esther chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word? Esther chapter 6, all the verses. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor." Let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Then the king said to Haman, Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning, and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the truths we learn from the recorded history in the scriptures. We thank you for the knowledge that your will is absolutely free and nothing or nobody can stop you from accomplishing your purposes. We take great comfort in knowing that you are always with your people, whether or not we feel your presence and you're directing our lives. We see that you are always faithful in keeping your word, even at times when your people do not. Thank you for the great promises you have given us through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we enjoy every spiritual blessing and eternal life. We thank you for the safe return of our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him as he comes to direct us to the great truths and promises in the scriptures. Give us understanding, those of us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may grasp how great you are. Though we subject ourselves to the ruling authorities, help us always to look to you and see our first duty is to obey you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you so much. And I just want to say two things. One about my vacation. I was known around the compound where I always hang around in Mexico as the happy man. All right? I want to take my elevator, and there are hundreds of people to serve here in this place. And one lady came in and said, oh, here's a happy man. So that's a new name that I have, the happy man. And the other is a suggestion. Now, tomorrow is the ladies' Bible study. What about Martha having a Bible study with all of you? And she can tell the stories, and I'll be down in Los Angeles for 2 days, but Martha can be here, Raquel can be here, and I tell her later what I said, but it will be great, and then you can come in and listen and ask questions right here, and you people meet and eat like we do in Mexico, meet and eat, all right, and so on. So tomorrow night, you will be teaching here. Mañana noche vas a enseñar, y Raquel va a traducir. And you ladies come, it's at 7 p.m. Bring your cookies and so on. Say something in the fridge there for the pastor. All right. Esther chapter 6. As you recall, we are on the morning service looking upon the book of Esther. A very unique book in the Bible. Doesn't mention God. Doesn't mention salvation. Doesn't mention hell. Doesn't mention heaven. A great book in the Bible. A very great book. But doesn't say anything about God, except the God is presence. And so I entitled the book, The Invisible presence of God. And on chapter 1, God was invisible, but he was present by a social disturbance in an entire empire. The wife disobeyed the husband. And the Iranian empire, you cannot do that. You're dead. And the king Ahasuerus said, well, let these women go. And that was a great disturbance that the wife of the king did not obey him. Chapter 2, God was present by selecting another wife to be queen of the Persian Empire. You can't believe it. She was a Jew. You can't believe it. Then chapter 3, he allows Satan to show his colors. And we learn a great lesson. Life is unfair. And I still receive an email saying, you are right, Pastor. Life is unfair. Well, that's what God really says. Chapter 4, he placed one person in a key position to save his people. A very simple fellow who took care of the administration of the king. He was a believer. He was a key man. And he was the savior God used for his people. Then in chapter 5, God gave Esther a calm, a wise, and a confident spirit. And she told the king what really happened. Now comes chapter 6. In God's presence, by having his way, regardless what man said. I have an iPhone, and now I receive my emails and everything. And one email came from Washington, D.C. Pastor, we need your help. He said, these women who took prayer out of the school is going to take the broadcasting of the gospel out of radio, internet, and television. That's the proposal in the Congress of the United States. So write an email right away to so-and-so and so-and-so. And so all the pastors together, we need 1 million email to present to the Congress that we want the Word of God to be read and to be proclaimed over radio. Looks like Satan is everywhere, I tell you. He's trying to block everything. Looks, where is God, people say. Well, chapter 6 is going to show you that God is real and that he is going to have his way regardless what you or anybody can do. God is going to have his way. Not your way, not my way, not the way of the church, not the way. His way. Whatever he said in his word, God's going to do it. I guess I have extra energies after vacation. Let's look on it. I'm going to teach three things. Number one, the story background. We look in the Bible. Number two, the story's revelation. And number three, the story's principle. It's all written and it's in your bulletin, so I want you with the Bible to follow me. The story background. You're in chapter 6. Let's go with me to chapter 2, verse 21. And 22 and 23. Here is an incidental background, we will say. Oh, this is incidental. But look at what happened. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigvan and Teresh, of those which keep the door, were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. There was a plot to kill the king. They forgot there was a little servant there. There's a little secretary there. And the Bible said, and the thing was known to Mordecai. He was a little secretary. Insignificant man. Nothing. I don't know if he has formal education. He was there. Who told it unto Esther, the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof, in Mordecai's name. She said, this is going to happen. Certified means it was really proof. And when The King James Bible says inquisition. The word is investigation was made of the matter. It was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on the tree. And it was written in the book of the Chronicles of the King. Mordecai is ignored. Nobody say, hi, Mordecai, you are the greatest. Nothing. Mordecai passed the word, saved the life of the king. And the God, who is not mentioned in the book of Esther, is there. And the king said, write this in the Chronicles, please. And so God write this in the Chronicles. Now, let's go to chapter 5 and verse 14. Look at what the Bible says. Chapter 5, verse 14. This is the last sermon that I have with you. Look at what happened. Then said Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, unto him. Him is Haman, the nasty guy. Let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet, and the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. This man who saved the king's life is going to be hanged tomorrow. And looks like nobody can do anything. Alright? That's what verse 14 says. His wife said to Haman, darling, don't get upset anymore about Mordecai. You are a body with the king. Just go enjoy yourself, drink with the king, tell the king, finish with this fellow, and it's over. And the guy was so sure that he built a 17-store gallows to hang a tiny little Jew. You see how Satan is? He looks powerful. When 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 describes Satan, he describes Satan as a roaring lion. He's not a lion. Lion is Jesus. Lion of the tribe of Judah, said the book of Revelation. But he's as, Satan is an imitator of the power of God. Poor little fellow. All right? That's the background. We are at the door of a real crisis. One guy who is good is going to lose his head. And nobody can save him. All right? Let's go now to chapter 6. Here is the story of Revelation. Look at the incidentals, the people will say, that happened. Verse 1 and verse 2, the king suffered insomnia. Look at this. On that night, could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king, and it was found written that Mordecai had told of Vigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains and keepers, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. What a coincidence. The king had no sleep. And he said, bring the old newspaper, will you? And they bring the old newspaper, and the king now reads, wow, they want to hang me in, and these guys saved my life. What a coincidence. 24 hours before this guy lose his head. Now look on it. Verse 3, God steps in at the 11th hour, we say, is that right? And at the 11th hour, look at verse 3. And the king said, what honor and dignity had been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. The king said, wow, mamma mia, he saved my life. What have we did for this fellow? We don't know. Amazing. At the 11th hour, ladies and gentlemen who work for the ministry, put one hand in the book of Esther and go with me to the back of your Bible in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6 and in verse 10. Always the New Testament, open up and clarify what God does.
You do for the Lord. You give yourself with sacrifice for the Lord. You give your time for the Lord. You give your talents to the Lord. You're trying to work for the Lord. And you don't need to publish anything any place. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. I tell you, I have my best boss myself. If I serve you, and I feed you with the word of God, and I help you, my boss never will forget about me. Isn't that great? It is great. It is great. I remember when I bought my first house. He said, "You have a security employment?" "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm a pastor." He said, "Well, you have security?" "Yes, sir." He said, "Can you get fired?" "No, sir. No, I can't get fired. No, I can't get fired." He said, "No." And they deny the loan. So I put a lawyer and I win. I tell you, because I prove that God never failed in court. It's just amazing. Don't fool around with the pastor. True. Who can say God cannot fulfill things? Don't be afraid of Satan. God is real. All right, let's go to this story. Verse 4 and 5. When everything seems great, it's not. Look at verse 4. Go back to Esther chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman is standing in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." You see this story? Haman is around saying, "Oh, when am I going to talk to the king to kill this guy?" The king said, "Oh, I need somebody to honor this guy." See, only God knows this. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I only know one day at a time. 1 second at a time. I don't know what my wife's going to do with me next time, but it's she doesn't know what I'm going to react to it, but God knows everything. Are we Christians? We're really happy. How can we not be happy when God knows everything and is for us? See, Haman said, "When the king is going to call me and how am I going to see him?" Remember the law. You cannot see the king you die unless he called you. And so when I'm going to see them, and the king said, "Who is there? I have to honor these fellows." Two different things, all right? But God is on the top, but God no mention there. All right, let's go next. Verse 7 to 9. Look at the great idea. Verse 7 to 9. And Haman answered, I finished in verse 5. Let's go at verse 6. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor?" Boy, Haman said, now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom will the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" Who else? Who else is the best? Me. That's Satan, my friend. Now let's look verse 7 to 9. And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king used to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal, which is set upon his head, and let this apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Boy, he really went on. You let Satan loose, and that's what he does. Me, and me, and me, and me. Watch out, you and me. Don't ever say me, 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 because if it's too much of me, it's not of God. It's not of God. If it's too much of me, it's not of God. But Haman said, "Me, me. Oh boy, let's do all of this." All right?
Now the shocking story, verse 10. Look at verse 10. And the king said unto Haman, make haste. I imagine Haman saying, make haste and take the apparels and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so too. And Haman said, yeah, Mordecai. I can picture the emotions. All right? 1 second before, he's just like that. And then God said, Mordecai. The Jew that sits at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. You know, I read the papers. The president of Iran said, I want to kill all the Jews. And I laugh about it. The Jews are doing nothing. I'm just preparing some missiles. That's all. But they don't react to it. See, they have God. And when you have God, the enemy can do anything, said anything he wants to, plan anything he wants to. But you have God. The problem is that God doesn't tell us what he's going to do. And we want to know, don't we? Especially in America. We have an agenda. We want to know what are you going to do next. That's not God. God is with you. Remember what he said to Moses? Go, I will be with you. But God, how I do it? I will be with you, I tell you. God does this so that we don't put our ideas on it. When I started this church 25 years ago, I said, how are you going to do it? I don't know. I'm just going to do what God said. I'm going to teach the Bible. How many people are going to have the church? I don't know. I'm going to teach the Bible. And I'm going to care for the people. What kind of building you're going to have? I don't know. You know, you're going to have a building. I don't know. God will have his building. Verse 11. What goes around comes around. Look at verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai. Can you imagine this? And brought him on the horseback through the streets of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted to honor. Mordecai had to do this for the man that he wants to kill. It's God funny. Verse 12. I like verse 12. I love verse 12. Look at verse 12. And Mordecai came again and sit in the palace. No, he sits in his office. He went to the king gate. You see the guy of God? The guy of God doesn't take credit and doesn't take value in anything. He said, okay, it's done. The honor? Okay, I go to my office and I'm working. You know? It's not that great. That's how we are. We have this building. I think it's gorgeous. We have a better building for comfort. But just a building. It's not a big palace. It's a building to have more comfort, to proclaim the word of God and serve God. That's it, fellas. No, nothing luxurious is at the pastor's office. That's it. You know what I mean? Nothing luxurious. It's just more comfort so that we can proclaim the gospel and let our children grow up and raise more to know Jesus. That's all. It's simple. Now, when nothing seems just, it is. Look at in verse 13. Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wife, his wise men, and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be on the seat of the Jew before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. I was surprised. I said, how does Zeresh know this? There is no mention of God. There is no preaching of God in this book. Where did she get it? Well, maybe she had the scrolls. And if you go to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and you look in verse chapter 12 in Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and look with me verse 1 to 3, you will see where she got the idea that you cannot overcome the people of God. Look at Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3. Now, the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. God said, Abraham, move. I tell you to move. Now look at verse 2. and I will make of thee great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's why Suresh said to, going back to Esther chapter 6, she says to Haman, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail. If that man is a child of God, you're a dead man. Hey, family of God. Family of God, are we strong? How can we not be happy? Somebody say in the Congress, we're going to do this. Oh, let him talk about it. God, what do you want us to do? You know, he'll sign some letters. And boy, right there in office in the Congress, sent to all the pastors, we need letters to inform the Congress that we want the Word of God to be read. Come on, who is this Satan? Oh, he said, he looks like a lion. He looks like a lion, but he's not a lion. He's a little deer. Come on. You know, and his wife was wise. He said, she knew more than he knew. She knew the Bible. She said, if you touch a believer, you're a dead man. He's protected by God. And now become the beginning of the end. Look at verse 14. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king chamberlain and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Remember, in that banquet, you will see, God's willing, next week, the following week, Esther is going to tell the king about it, and Haman is going to be executed. But I tell you, now Haman know. Boy, I was invited to the banquet. What if in the banquet somebody mentioned this? I bet you that he did not eat that day. Amazing. So that's the story of Revelation. Now, what's the story principle? And I want you to really think about this. The background is awful. Situations are tough. The revelation is God is in control. Out of incidentals. Out of a paper, an old paper written all time, long time ago. God, take that little insert. Mordecai held the king, and the king said, let this man be honored. You say there is no God? Do I hear that? Some people say there is no God. Well, they really have no idea. What is the story principle? The story principle is this. In the final analysis, God will have his way. Look in the Bible in Romans, just an example. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. That's in the New Testament. You have Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Then you have the book of Acts. And then the next book that follows is the book of Romans. In chapter 5 and in verse 10, I'm going to give you an example of why we proclaim the gospel. Here is what God says. For, said God, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, said God, being reconciled, we shall live by his life. Now, here's what God is saying. You get back to God through the Lord Jesus' death. You don't get back to God through study and seminary. You don't get back to God by knowing Hebrew. You don't get back to God by knowing Greek. You don't get back to God by giving the church a big offering, which we welcome anyway. But I tell you something. You know what I mean? I don't want to sell you the gospel. Like people say, you have to sell the gospel. No, sir, the gospel not for sale. The gospel not for sale. I want to tell you this. If you want to get back to God, you have to go through the cross. I saw a Mexican, happened to be a pastor, swimming across the pool, at the 50 meters pool. And I go 10 times, and I see this guy with a beautiful chain and a beautiful cross. And I look on and say, man, what a cross! And the guy stopped swimming. Yeah, hallelujah, he said. I knew it was part of the hallelujah people there in Mexico. You know something? I like the cross because what the cross means to you, reconcile me to God. It was no cross, I'm lost.
The cross reconciled me to God. But then the resurrection gave me back my life. I lost my life in Adam. That's where I die. But I need my life back. And look at what the next verse. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. What? By his life. Was Jesus alive after the resurrection? Yes, he was. More than 500 people saw him. Of which they are alive, said the Bible. So what that means? Means that God will have his way. How much his way? Look with me in John chapter 17. How Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 12. Just to tell you that this is why we preach the gospel. Jesus is praying. And in John 17, verse 12, he said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost by the son of perdition. None of them is lost, except the one who denied the Lord. See, Jesus would not lose you. One, his Savior, would not lose you. There is no possibility. The Bible says, except the one who rejected him. The son of perdition is Judas. He rejected Jesus. He sold Jesus. Of course, he's lost. It's not Jesus' fault. Is that right? It's not Jesus' fault that he had no power to save Judas. Judas rejected the Lord. Do you see what I mean? God will have his way. If your way is your way, you're lost. If your way is, well, people tell me, I have my own way to worship God. You're lost. There is not your own way. It's his way. It's his way. It is the cross of Calvary who paid my sins. The resurrection who gave me life. That's his way. It had no change. And people have created Buddha. And Buddha, you do this ceremony and so on. Yoga, you do this exercise and concentrate. One time I was in an office and a guy was on the top of the table concentrating. I thought he was sick. I said, you need help? He said, no. He said, I'm concentrating doing this. I said, well, you're crazy. He said, yes, I need to get the spirit. You don't get the spirit by twisting yourself. Come on. You get the spirit by reading the word. He said, no, doctor, he said, I need help. No, you need help. You're lost. You go to hell. And then quickly they react to it. My friend, you're going to hell if you don't have his way. I say it is kindly. I don't want you to go to hell. This church is open so that you don't go to hell. But we cannot save you. The only person who can save you is God. How? By going to Jesus, I believe that you died for me and you rose again so that I can have life. Now, how do I know? Because Esther chapter 6, God has his way. And Genesis 12 says, I will protect my people. And at the 11th hour, less than 24 hours before Mordecai died, God said, king cannot sleep. King cannot sleep. Cannot sleep. He said, give me the papers. What papers? The old papers. You know, there's a bunch of old papers. They just choose the one who has Mordecai. There is no coincidence. God will have his way. I hope that you have trusted the Lord. You are not a Baptist. You are not a Catholic. You are not this. You are not the other. You are a child of God who have believed in the death of Jesus and in his resurrection. Then God will save you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you will have your way. You pray. You pray so intensively that you will save your people. So intensively. Oh, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That in the times of Esther, Satan wanted to kill God's people. And at the 11th hour, you brought Mordecai to glory. That tells me that I have to keep on proclaiming and telling people that Jesus saved. Oh, Satan will try to show in the newspaper and in the media and in the news all kinds of things. But you're alive. That's why we trust you with our children when they're in the army or in the navy or in the airport. That's why we trust you when our children are in college. Because you will have your way. You will protect our family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
made me the best happy man ever. Not because I am a happy man because of alcohol or because of something that I saw over there in vacation. I'm a happy man because you have your way in my life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Christ. We thank you that you raised the Jewish people to be your people, and now we are part with them in the kingdom of God, those who have believed. Have mercy on those who believe not. Leave them, even on the 11th hour, like you did to Mordecai, so that we can say, God has power to save. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you for your protection to our children, to our families. Thank you, Lord. You're a great God. Yes, there is a book in the Bible that doesn't say anything of the presence of God literally, but we can feel it on the air. The same thing happened with us. Once we believe, we feel your presence. Thank you for being merciful with us. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen.